What a blessing it is to be the children of God, to be God's people and have the deliverance that we do and the hope that we do, and to be able to thank Him continually for that as we think about how fortunate we are in Christ. Psalm 107 talks a little bit about that. I want to speak to that this evening. As you know, I'm getting ready for a trip to Mexico. I'm able to do that two times a year, and usually for about 8 to 10 days as I go into Chiapas, southernmost state of Mexico. It's also the poorest state in Mexico. And during that time, I have the opportunity to preach between 8 and 10 times usually as we're going from congregation to congregation, place to place, and Bible studies mixed in there. So it's a very intense week to 10 days for me. I appreciate your prayers on my behalf as I prepare to do that. I was working feverishly this week trying to get ready for that, and to some degree, you're going to pay the price for that tonight, or you could look at that as being the beneficiaries of that, depending on how you look at it. This will be a short lesson tonight from Psalm 107. I do want to make mention of one thing, and that is that there are a couple of needs down in southern Mexico that I'm aware of that I want to mention to you. It may be, and I know that from time to time the people here look for opportunities to help people outside of just the normal things that we do. There are a couple of things right now that I'm aware of that people are in need of. I have a good preaching friend down there. His name is Ruperto Navarro. And Ruperto, unfortunately, his little girl was born with spina bifida, which sometimes is not a serious thing, but this time it was. And the child, I think, was about 2 months old or so and ended up passing away as a result of that illness. There are some medical bills related to that. This family lives out in the jungle of Mexico, so they don't have much of an income. And I think a few $100 would be enough to help them to cover some of their fees related to that. So I wanted to mention that to you. If you have interest in that, let me know. There's also another congregation that has a lot of people there, but not much money there, and they've lost the roof to their building, and they need some help with that. So if you're interested in helping with either one of those things, I know you probably didn't come prepared to do that tonight, but if you mention something to me, then I'll do my best to spot you, and maybe you can deliver that to Sheila while I'm away. Thank you for considering that. This is a giving group and a loving group, and I appreciate the good things that you do on a daily basis. So thank you. Psalm 107 is the psalm that talks about, I think, gives us some pictures for us to consider. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 1, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let us be very quick to be willing to proclaim who it is that we are, to be willing to say to the world as to what it is that has been accomplished for us through the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look over at the book of Amos, if you will, in the book of Amos in chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 talks about that kind of idea. And here is a psalm that really refers to a group of people being put back together again, that have been brought to safety again from all sorts of different directions. And you know, I can't imagine what that would have to be like to be in captivity, to be under the control of a foreign nation, to be under the control of someone else. I ran into John McCain in the Houston airport some years ago. I was traveling to Mexico. He happened to be there in the airport. And was in a was in a magazine shop there looking and shopping for something. It was amazing to see all of the people just kind of surround him and kind of poke at him and talk to him and bother him. And he showed such great character in not being frustrated by all of that was coming his way. And I can only imagine that if you've been through the kinds of things and the inconvenience that he had in a prisoner of war camp for years, that those things would not register with you like they would with other people. But I can't imagine what that would be like day after day after day to be in captivity, to be held by a foreign power. And probably he has a different perspective than most about the inconveniences of life. But I do know what it's like to be held and bound by your enemy, to be under the control of a foreign power spiritually, and to be released from that. And really what the psalm is talking about is that very thing. To be redeemed, to be bought back, to be saved and brought out of that condition. What a wonderful thing that is. But the redeemed of the Lord should say so. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 8, that idea is communicated in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 3 and verse 8. You know, because of what the Lord has done for us, done so much for us, how can we not but speak of that? How can we not but proclaim that? How can we suppress that kind of joy when we realize what the Lord has done for us? In Amos chapter 3 and verse 8, Amos talks about that. And he says this, "A lion has roared. Who will not fear?" That's the natural response. The lion roars, you run for cover or you find some way to get away from that. You're obviously frightened by that. That's the natural response. And the natural response, also in verse 8, is that the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And there, the idea of speaking forth. The Lord has spoken, how can I not receive that and then disseminate that and spread that to others? Tell them about it. That's what I ought to do. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, how can we but speak the things which we have seen and heard? Now in Psalm 107, as you get a little bit further into this, basically what the psalmist does is he gives us four different pictures of redemption. And I just want to mention those to you briefly. Four different pictures of redemption. The same way that the Gospels present different angles of things, here we have some different pictures of what it means to be redeemed. The first is beginning in verse 4. And as you go through these things, you'll notice a commonality between these paragraphs. Because the picture is given, and then the condition of those that are found in that circumstance is talked about, and then they respond to that and cry out, and then God delivers. It's kind of like that cycle of judges in some way, as to the cycle that we see in Psalm 107 with this procedure that has gone through. In verse 4 through 7, the first individuals that we find are those that are lost in the desert. It says that they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Here is one that, as you can picture in your mind, has been wandering for days and days and days. And I've heard some stories about that. Having spent time in Mexico and talk to even some individuals that tried to enter into the United States via Arizona. And some that had to turn back because it was just so difficult to come back into Mexico as they were trying to get across. But the idea of wandering in the wilderness in the heat and the dryness and no water, and you hear horror stories about that. But here's somebody that is in that condition, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry, and they don't know which way to go, and they come to a fork in the road, and they don't know which way to choose. And they're lost. And they go around a bend hoping to find a city, and there's nothing there, over the rise, and once again, it's just more of the same. And here is a person, an individual, that in their life is in that circumstance. And the children of Israel, as they are in that circumstance and have wandered from God, and any time you're away from God, you're in the wilderness. And that's the circumstance that they find themselves in. And your heart shrinks and your soul faints like your stomach. And in that moment, in your last breath, someone comes and is able to scoop you up off the ground with that last breath still in you and carry you to safety. And that's what God does. He comes in and He finds this circumstance and this desolation and hunger and thirst, and their soul is fainting, and they cry out to the Lord, and He delivers them out of their distresses. How can you not talk about that? How can you not proclaim that salvation? And He talks about that there. That, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to tell that story. If you have experienced that, tell that story to somebody. They need to hear it. They need to know about that. Well, as you come down into verse 10, we have the second picture here of individuals that are in prison. And this second picture here in verse 10, they're in prison because of their rebellion against God. And they had some experience with this, certainly. The children of Israel did, four generations more in Egypt, and then other captivities, Babylonian captivity, and problems with other nations multiple times, having dealt with that. But it says that those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. At least they do the right thing when they're hurting. In the lowest moment, they cry out to the right source. And they cry out to the Lord for help here again. And He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Have you experienced that? If you're a Christian, you have. And you know very well what it's like to be bound and held by Satan and sin and enslaved to that, and then to be freed from that and those bonds to be broken into 1,000 pieces. Don't you need to tell somebody about that? Don't you need to proclaim that to others? To let them know what God has done on your behalf, to praise God, to be in the clutches of the enemy and bound in this way. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Beginning in verse 17, we find a third picture. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Have you ever been there? So sick that just you have no desire to eat. You can't even drink. That your body cannot handle that. You're so afflicted and so ill that all the natural processes and needs that you have are put to the side. You're that sick. And you're that withdrawn. And there is all manner of disease and affliction and famine. and their soul is abhorring all manner of food. And so that's the circumstance here. And it says in verse 19 again that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Folks, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. You probably know what that experience is like. To be in that condition, in that kind of sickness, spiritually, and to have the Lord snatch you out of that kind of despair. Tell somebody about it. Praise the Lord for that. And then again, in verse 23 and following, there's a fourth picture very quickly. And if you've ever talked to somebody that's a Navy man, they might have some story to tell about being far out on the ocean and being tossed about by waves that I have a hard time picturing in my mind. We had a member of the church down in South Alabama where I used to preach in Saraland years ago that would talk about 90-foot waves out in the ocean. I cannot begin to imagine what that would be like, to be tossed around, to be that helpless and that vulnerable to the forces of nature of 90-foot waves throwing that boat around. I cannot begin to imagine that physically. But I know how it is spiritually. And I know that desperation myself very well. And so did these individuals. He says in verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. And I'm sure in that moment that you feel that would be the case. That these waves are just to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. They ebb and flow and rise from the heights down to the lows. And if you've been tossed around like that, you know what that's like. And he says in verse 26, their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. God calms the storm and there is quietness once again and life can continue as it ought to be. Maybe you can picture that very well for yourself. And maybe even you know that you're in that circumstance now. That you're in one of those pictures really hits home with you. That you're lost in the desert. That you are a sin-sick soul. That you are tossed about like a boat in a storm. Or that you are a prisoner in chains. And you recognize that you're in that very same situation. The answer, folks, is in verse 43. And we'll close with this passage. Verse 43 of Psalm 107. How foolish it would be to be in those circumstances, recognizing that there was a solution to that, and then not seeking that solution out. Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Won't you take advantage of that tonight while we stand?